Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship and to the fellowship of the Lord's table. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 42, Only on God Do Thou My Soul, 42. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, everything that people do and say and think is known to you. We can have no secrets from you. And so we ask you to inspire our hearts with your Holy Spirit so that our love for you may be made perfect and our praise may be worthy of your holy name. O Lord, our God, we take a humble position in your presence as we are aware of your holiness and of our own unworthiness. We think now of the ways in which we have failed you in failing to honour one another with our thoughts, our words and our actions. We ask you to forgive what we have been, to help us to amend what we are, and to direct what we shall be. May we be cleansed by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May we live in him and he in us. May we follow his leading and his example of faithful service every step of life's journey, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. Hymn number 152, Praise the Lord, His Glories Show. 152.
Thank you.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, at verse 4. Isaiah, chapter 50, at verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. And in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, at verse 14. Luke, chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 167, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 167.
Thank you.
Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, at verse 20. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." In the course of the years, I've met many people, I suppose you have too, people who talk about the land where Jesus lived his earthly life, and they refer to it as the Holy Land. We can understand that. People think of the places where Jesus has physically been, the land which was his native land and where he spent the whole of his earthly life. People think of that land with reverence and solemnity, and they naturally speak of it as the Holy Land because Jesus was physically there. Many people have been there, made a pilgrimage, gone on a conducted tour, seen the places where Jesus walked and talked and met with his disciples and healed the sick and preached to the crowds and fed the 5,000 and told the parables. Wonderful to have been there and seen all that. It's bound to leave a lasting impression on those who've been fortunate enough to have made that journey. Mrs. Hebbenton and I have not been there. We've never thought of going. Maybe we think of the commercialization, the militarization, the inevitable changes that country's gone through since the days when those feet in ancient time walked upon the hills of Galilee. We're content with our own mental picture of Bethlehem and Nazareth and Capernaum and Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee, a picture we've nurtured in our minds since early days. The upper room in Jerusalem, where Jesus and his disciples celebrated the Passover on that fateful night. during the meal, Jesus instituted that which we've come to know as the Lord's Supper or the Communion. We're all individually different from one another, and when we celebrate the communion and are asked to do it in remembrance of him, I'm sure we each have our own thoughts and our own mental picture. The presence of the communion elements here in the church, the table set with those elements, all of those things make an impact on our mind. All help to impress us with the solemnity and the deep meaning of the occasion. Whatever helps us to grasp that solemnity and that deep meaning is surely to be valued. I may have mentioned before a communion service which Mrs. Hebbenton and I found particularly impressive and moving when our family were at the stage of church youth group. We were attending a church in Rutherglen. And the young people, and quite a number of others too, went in the late summer on a weekend retreat to a small village in East Lothian called Longyester, Friday evening until Sunday afternoon, some Bible study, some discussion, some fun and laughter, ending with a communion service in the open air on the Sunday afternoon. I had to leave there on the Sunday morning, because I had agreed to take a service for a minister friend in Dundee. It gave me an opportunity to look in on my mother, who by that time was living alone, my father and my sister both having died. But I didn't linger too long there. I meant to get back to Longyester in time for the closing of this retreat that we were attending. When I did get there, the communion service had already begun, and to this day, I'm glad I was there in time to be present at it. All of us sitting in one great circle. As I said, I've never seen the hills of Galilee. But that day, the Lammermuir Hills spoke to us eloquently of the Good Shepherd and his sacrifice, which we were even then commemorating. Deep meaning. The communion service has a deep meaning. And whatever helps to bring that meaning home to us is to be welcomed. Jesus spoke of a covenant. This cup, he said, this is the new covenant made at the price of my blood. In the Bible, the covenant is the relationship between God and his people. In early Old Testament times, God approached the people through Moses, and the people promised to obey and keep God's law. So there came into being a covenant between God and his people, a relationship in which the people received the blessings and the help and the protection of God. In return for this, the people observed God's law, lived according to the way it was set out for them, not only in the Ten Commandments, but in other ordinances which they were pledged to observe. The covenant was a good thing in principle, but it was not possible for human beings to observe their side of the bargain. There was the inevitable obstacle of human sin. Sin in all its various forms, warping the human mind, obscuring the good and worthwhile purposes of people, interfering with the relationship between people and their God. In Old Testament times, there came the idea of sacrifice. Make an offering to God in the form of some kind of sacrifice. This will appease God and enable the relationship to be restored to what it previously was and what it was intended to be. Animal sacrifice, that was the normal form of sacrifice. A man's wealth was thought to consist of, among other things, the flocks and herds and livestock he possessed. So the killing and ceremonial burning of animals represented a real sacrifice for the man of property. And so it became the regular practice for worshipping God through sacrifice. The practice of sacrifice of this kind became part of the regular worship of the Israelite people. So it was still when Jesus lived his earthly life. When Jesus spoke to his disciples about a new covenant, he was speaking to people who were familiar with the idea of a covenant between mankind and God. But then Jesus led them on from the thought of the Old Testament kind of covenant to something deeper, something not dependent on animal sacrifice, but which nevertheless could be said to be parallel to the idea, his own sacrifice, the cup of red wine symbolizing the blood which he would shed. Far from bringing an end to this movement which Jesus had instituted, his death would be the starting point from which his movement would reach to all ends of the earth. Human sin continues. We've not far to look in the news bulletins of every day to see evidence of the sin of the world. And if we're honest with ourselves, we don't even have to look at the news bulletins to see it. We're all human, all affected in one way or another by the sin which separates human beings from their God. And much as we might like to see the world put to rights, and cruelty and sadism and terrorism eradicated, it's certainly within ourselves that we must begin to restore that relationship with God. That's why we're Christian, that's why we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and take him as our pattern, our inspiration, our saviour. We have no need for animal sacrifice to appease our God, or for elaborate rituals such as they had in Old Testament times, characteristically represented by the annual celebration of the Passover. What we do is this sacrament. With this sacrament, we remind ourselves what it cost to save us and to restore the relationship with God. And in doing so, in observing from time to time this sacrament, we are doing as Jesus instructs us. Do this, he said, in remembrance of me. It's not merely a passing salute to an incident in the past. Jesus knows that people easily forget. The human mind is like that. It gets taken up with many things, and it's all too easy to lose sight of the fundamentally important things. So Jesus says, do this, and you will remember. Actions speak louder than words in this instance too. We go through these actions, and it's not just an empty ritual. It's an action which focuses our mind on the essential thing. As we go through this earthly life, we have many things to contend with day by day. We're inundated with news bulletins about things going on in the world which ought not to go on. And we know that if we are to exert any influence for good in our little corner of the world, if we're to have any effectiveness at all in representing our Lord Jesus Christ as we go about our ordinary life, then it's our personal relationship with God which has to be kept in order and in good repair. So here is what Jesus says to us in the celebration of this sacrament. He says, in the rush and pressure and hum and bustle of earthly life, you will forget me. Human beings forget because they're made that way, not because they want to forget. Come in, Jesus says. Come in sometimes to the stillness and the peace of my house and go through this remembrance action with others of my people. And so you too will remember the new covenant made at the cost of his blood, the relationship with God, which he constantly restores for us. We remember the cost, and we value the covenant. It's worth any sacrifice. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 668, According to Thy Gracious Word, 668. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you continually bless us and supply our need. We give you our thanks in words and in praise in the course of our worship, but we seek to bring to you also the material gifts which are here to be dedicated to your service and by your guidance to the making of the world into a better place for your people. Lord, as we gather here at your holy table, that which is intended to unite the fellowship of Christians throughout the world and throughout the ages, we pray for the church. May the church, in your strength, be able to cope with the dangers and the confusions which are to be met in the world. And may it become in reality the refuge for mankind for which you have intended it. We pray for those in positions of authority, our Queen and those entrusted with the control of nations. Bless and guide the work which goes on. Help us to foster good relations between different groups of people. We pray for peace in the troubled places of the world and for greater concern for the needs of the underprivileged and those who have to face each day continuing the suffering of the day before. Help us to use our lives, our talents and possessions for the benefit of those around us and for the glory of your name. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The table of our Lord Jesus Christ is open to all who are in communion with the Church Universal. We therefore invite everyone who loves the Lord Jesus sincerely and is in fellowship with him to join us in this celebration. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Friends, let us draw near in spirit to the holy table and hear the gracious words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst. Those who come to me I will not cast out. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let us pray. O Lord our God, by the blood of Jesus you've opened for us a new way into the holiest of all. We ask you to help us in faith and love to enter with him. May we be made pure in heart, so that we may share in his immortal sacrifice. We bring to you today, Lord, this bread and this cup, to ask you to bless them for the spiritual use for which they're set apart. Grant that by faith they may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Jesus, and that we may partake to our spiritual nourishment and growth in grace through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, we recall the words in which Jesus instituted this holy sacrament, their words passed on to us by Paul. I have received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, so that we may fulfill our Lord's instruction in word and action, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use, this mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and present to him our prayers and thanksgivings. Let us pray. Almighty God, who created heaven and earth and all that is in them, we praise you for Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to be the Saviour of the world. We thank you for his birth, his life, his suffering and death for our sake, his glorious resurrection and ascension, his sending of the Holy Spirit as he promised to bring life and power to the church, and to be the light and the guide of those who put their trust in you. Lord, we put our trust in you. Help us to trust you more completely and to serve you more faithfully day by day. Now, in this hour of worship, we set forth this memorial of Jesus as he commanded. We ask your blessing on that which we do here on earth, that the bread which we break may be to us the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of his blood, that we may partake of them to our spiritual nourishment and growth in grace, to the glory of your holy name. Lord, we seek those things not only for ourselves. We think of those we know who are in need today. We think of those who are ill, those who would like to be with us here celebrating this holy sacrament, but are prevented by age or infirmity or circumstances. We ask you, Lord, to bless them and keep them safe. Accept us and the memorial we make today, as in fellowship with all the faithful in heaven and on earth, we pray you to fulfill in us the purpose of your redeeming love, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. According to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and for a memorial of him, we do this, who the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the love which brings us food from heaven, the life of your dear Son, and assures us that we belong to the company of all his faithful people in heaven and on earth. Grant that we may be strengthened by this fellowship and by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue his work in the world until we come to the glory of your eternal kingdom, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Friends, there is a mention in the leaflet today, but I emphasize to you once again about the midweek service, which has been in abeyance for a break over the summer months, but which is now resuming Wednesday of this week, Wednesday the 9th, in the small hall at 10:30 in the morning. Everyone's welcome there. Now, our closing hymn at this service, 509, Jesus Calls Us, 509. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.